Hi, and welcome to Undressed. I'm Megan Collins, Style Girlfriend. Thanks to all of our newest podcast supporters. Quick reminder that you can help keep Undressed ad-free by heading to anchor.fm/stylegirlfriend, which I will someday get better at saying. Not like they are foreign words and they are just normal words that I can say in a long stream. And click on support this podcast. It's really easy. Today, I'm super excited because I am joined by Caroline Moss, who is an amazing, super interesting person who I followed on Twitter forever, and I'm like embarrassed to be sitting in front of her right now knowing how many of her tweets that I have favorited.
Oh, it's embarrassing for me knowing how many tweets there are.
Oh gosh. Oh, I never like to look at the ratio.
No.
That's dangerous. You guys, alongside Michelle Markowitz, she wrote Hey Ladies, the story of 8 best friends, 1 year, and way too many emails, which is a supremely entertaining novel that tracks the inbox clogging drama of best friends planning a bachelorette party through emails and group chats. It's hilarious, it's cutting, and I can't recommend it highly enough.
Thank you.
Also, as the Daily Caller pointed out, with the subtlety of a frying pan to the face, it's safe to say she's a feminist. Be careful, gentlemen.
That's true.
And she's also super smart and fun. I'm excited she's here to chat about all the things. She's also a senior strategist at BuzzFeed, as if she's not busy enough. So we're just going to jump right into it.
Yeah.
Today's first and only topic, is it time to outlaw men?
It's been time. I'll say that. It's been time. I don't know why it took us so long. I think we're now in the, you know, I think it was like a joke and now it's a very serious. It's time. Ban men.
So like a lot of folks, I was super upset last week watching the testimonies of Dr. Christine Blasey Ford and Judge Brett Kavanaugh. I tweeted some things about it from my Twitter, and then I ended up firing off this like very angry email from Style Girlfriend Friday morning. And I did this funny thing where I always schedule them for the mornings, and I wrote it Thursday night, and I was like, I'm gonna get up kind of early and like double check it before it goes out.
Sleep on it.
Right, exactly. Like maybe I'm gonna take back some things. And then by the time I woke up, it actually had sent earlier. So like Thursday night Megan, I think, was smarter than Friday morning Megan, and she's like, oh, this is going out.
Yeah. No, that's good. Act on your impulses, I feel like, in these situations. It's really easy to try to edit ourselves. And that's the thing that has been so annoying about watching this whole process, right? And so much of the story is that Dr. Ford was so poised and polite and amicable and trying to sort of, is that okay for you?
Right. Doing all the emotional labor.
And that's fine. I mean, totally. I get that. That's what all women would do. That's what I would do. And I think you sending your email a little earlier is actually just giving the finger to that whole premise. Because what you were going to do is wake up in the morning and see if you needed to tone yourself down a little bit. Let's just not.
Well, that's exactly right. It's interesting because I got some expected blowback from followers who gave sort of the like disappointing but not altogether surprising like shut up and dribble type reply. Mm-hmm. Except in this case, dribbling would be like advising you on chinos.
Yeah.
But the way that I've always viewed Style Girlfriend is just that we're helping guys look and act their best.
Sure.
And so to us, like, this is very much under the umbrella of helping guys figure out how to be a modern man, how to be a stylish man in 2018.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm really excited. I want to walk through some of the arguments that I've seen on Twitter and just from casual conversations that I then, like, leave because otherwise it turns to not productive conversations. So I just want to go through these with you because I think it's going to be really helpful for our listeners who, for the most part, honestly, Caroline, like, I feel like I'm making it sound like they're terrible. They're not.
No,
they're really amazing. And they want to be better. And they, for the most part, acknowledge that they maybe have bias, that they're guys who want to be allies to women or want to be supportive of the women in their life. Maybe they just haven't thought about it in certain ways. So I feel like we have this really great opportunity to say the things that maybe they haven't yet kind of heard or haven't like bounced through their ear holes in a way that they've really understood. So I'm hoping that we can do that today.
Okay.
So first up, I've heard guys say, I'm afraid I'll be accused of something I didn't do and it'll ruin my career. And, you know, women have sort of expressed a similar sentiment, which is like concern on behalf of their husbands, their sons, their brothers. Mm. Specifically just this morning, you sent this to me after I'd already added to the outline, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
But Donald Trump Jr. was asked in an interview for Daily Mail TV, which, who are you scared most for, your daughters, your sons? And the first son responded, I mean, right now, I'd say my sons. So what would you say to people who would make that argument?
I mean, look, it's It's a difficult conversation to have because you don't want to disregard the fact that, unfortunately, there are people out there, there are women out there who do make false accusations against men. The proportion at which it happens against the number of women who are assaulted by men is extremely low.
And I will just jump in here and say a study from the National Sexual Violence Resource Center found that false reporting only accounts for between 2 and 10% of sexual assault allegations. So that's very true.
It's very true. It's very small. And I get that. I feel that. And I understand that. But what I would say is that if... it's such a difficult question. I don't totally sympathize with it. I just understand it. It is more likely that a woman that you love and care about is going to get sexually assaulted than a man you love and care about, or you, if you're a man, are going to be accused of it.
Falsely.
Right. Falsely accused of it.
Yes.
And what I think is interesting is, like, you know, we as humans project a lot of things and no one is perfect. And so my thought whenever I hear someone be like, I'm very nervous someone is going to accuse me of something, means like you might have done something worth being accused of. And I hate to say it, but like I have men in my life who have expressed that sort of sentiment. And I have a lot of men in my life who haven't. And I would venture to guess that the men who have not express that sentiment are the men who know that they have never done anything to warrant an accusation, whether true or false. And so I think that that conversation is really interesting. I mean, don't even get me started on I'm more worried about my sons than my daughters at this point. That is sure to be held against him in some sort of custody court with Vanessa Trump, right? I mean, like, are you kidding? I mean, look, it's reasonable. Be worried about your children. But I think that that was a case of...
But not more than your base.
Not more than your base. Right. Right, right, right. Party over country. Party over your kids. Party over your daughters. I think that that... I would give Donald Trump Jr. the benefit of the doubt and say I don't think that that's true. I just think that he likes riling up. But yeah, it's such an interesting conversation. Men are very rarely accused of flat out... lies having to do with them assaulting someone else. It's so rare. It's so rare. And I feel for men who have had that happen to them. Like, you know, it can happen, sure. But I think what we've seen the most of over the last week is women coming out of every corner, out of every generation, being like, I was raped. I was sexually assaulted. I told no one. No one would believe me. My parents didn't believe me. My boss didn't believe me. And it's just another, like, way that I feel like men are taking back the conversation and making it about themselves. I don't know. I can't sympathize with the concern. And I think it's BS to say that you're more worried about your husband being accused than you are of someone assaulting you.
Yeah.
And not being able to speak out about it and be believed. Like, that is so deranged to me. It's something that must have been so ingrained systematically within you into your belief system that's how that hierarchy should go.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's sort of akin to the idea of like, I'm worried that my future kid will be struck by lightning, but I'm more worried that they're going to grow up in rape culture.
Yeah.
That allows for, yeah, women to be denigrated and treated as less than,
yeah,
and boys to be treated as, I guess, boys until they're 40, 50, 60 years old.
Till they die. Like John McCain died a boy. Like, I mean, that's how I feel. Like, it's just like women never get to be girls. Black men never get to be boys either. Mm-hmm. And like, you look at Anita Hill, like, she was not even believed whatsoever. They just thought she was straight up lying. With Dr. Ford, they think she's telling the truth, but it definitely wasn't Brett Kavanaugh. I mean, like, we live in this culture where, like, an entire government is bending over backwards to protect a man who very clearly has some stuff in his past, and very likely a an anger problem, if not also a drinking problem. And we are watching this woman who had nothing to gain by doing this. And still she's put on trial.
Well, so that's my next, argument that I've heard that I really kind of want to dissect is like, hey, whatever happened to innocent until proven guilty?
Yeah. I mean, it's not a trial.
Right. Like, it's not a trial.
And you know?
I think that a few of the senators tried to make this point. It's a job interview.
It's a job interview.
And he doesn't have the right to succeed to the Supreme Court.
Right.
He has to, show that he is someone who is worthy of that position, who has the right temperament for that position.
Yep.
And so we don't actually, it is not a requisite that he is proven guilty of this. It is simply, are there enough concerns about his fitness for this
right.
position
mm-hmm.
that we should be able to say at some point, you know what? No, let's nominate someone else.
Yeah, I mean, look, multiple women are coming out of the woodwork and alleging that you assaulted them or raped them or gang raped them. If you are on,
or that you were present for that,
or that you were present for it, or that you were like a conspirator in that, or you were a witness and didn't do anything, yeah, that's something that has nothing to do with being liberal or conservative. And I think that there's, all of a sudden all these people are really into due process. I don't know. People didn't seem too into due process. Like, people aren't into due process when we talk about Black Lives Matter. People aren't into due process when we talk about, the fact that at Trump rallies, people are still yelling, lock her up. Okay. I mean, like, it's just not believable. It boils down to, I want to win this and not necessarily. And like, I wish so much that we would just come out and at least call a spade a spade, because it has nothing to do with innocent until proven guilty. It has nothing to do with due process. This isn't a trial. You don't actually care. It's like a real human issue. And it has everything to do with the culture that we are living in right now, and that we subject ourselves every day, and it is so part of the culture that we don't even recognize it anymore.
And it's unfortunate that women have become shrapnel in this fight.
100%. The things that depress me the most are when you see women in 2018 holding protest signs, and then they have pictures of themselves holding the exact same signs in the early 90s or the 80s or whatever. And I saw one the other day of a woman who did an interview with, I don't know where it was, but it was an interview with this woman who was photographed in, like, when Anita Hill was doing her testimony, and her sign said, "We will remember in November." And she saved the sign and she brought it back and held it as Dr. Ford testified. And sometimes it just feels like we haven't come far enough.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Or we're going back.
I hope that's not the case.
Me too.
I keep thinking that it's sort of a death knell, right?
I hope.
Like, everyone keeps talking about, like, well, these, like, the bad people will die out. And it's like, well, it's kind of a passive way of accepting change. But
yeah, I mean, there are always going to be bad people. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's always going to be people who disagree. There's never going to be a time where we're all, like, on the same page. But there's so many antiquated ideas right now being used in such a way that makes it feel like there's a lot of work that is now being sort of diminished with this administration in power.
Sure. I think I want to go back to something that you said about it being a human issue. And I think that's something that I have kind of tried to express to some people in my life who, I've had this conversation with,
mm-hmm.
When they say, like, look, I get it. He's conservative. And these, the one side wants to put a conservative judge on the court. I guess one is just there's plenty of conservative judges out there that haven't been accused of sexual assault.
Right.
But beyond that, like, when we go back to the idea of this being a job interview, like, I used to work in advertising, and I always said, literally, unless you're a doctor or a lawyer, like, anybody can fit any job.
Yes.
And so if you were to come in for a job interview with me and you were weird,
mm-hmm.
or you were aggressive, mm-hmm. or
you
somehow
back.
Indicated that, right, exactly, you talk back to me, you, like, challenge me in a really aggressive way, like, I wouldn't hire you.
Yeah.
Because I'd be like, you seem like a bad fit for
I
this
would
company.
Not
I don't
want to
be
you.
Around you.
Yeah.
And so I think in that way, like, I think that's something that I keep wanting to get back to, above and beyond the fact that he's, like, lied under oath and, like, da 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 da.
Yeah.
Like, he does not seem like he has the temperament for someone who needs to be, like, this very impartial, like,
no.
What's the saying that everyone says, but that's, I mean, it's bullshit, but everyone says it. It's, like, calls, balls, and strikes.
Mm.
Like, an umpire does not have, like, a baseball umpire has a better temperament than this guy, right? Yeah. Like, you have to be not necessarily, like, cool as a cucumber. Like, it's okay to be passionate. Right. But the way that he acted, and especially towards the women that were, you know, asking him questions, was super concerning.
Mm-hmm. And it's not fair to say, in the big defense of that from, you know, people in his camp are like, well, of course he's going to be mad. Someone's accusing him of rape. And it's like, okay, if you have truly nothing to hide, that's not your attitude about the whole thing.
Well, so that's really interesting. That's another, that's the next point actually that I did want to get at is, like, people say, how could he have gotten this far without, you know, saying something? So don't you think he'd be mad?
Right.
And that one is a little bit trickier for me, I'll admit. Like, yes, I'm with you that he should want to have a full investigation to clear his name. But mm-hmm. I also don't know how I would act if I was accused of something that I didn't think I did. And that brings me to this New York Times article, which you and I both read.
Yeah.
On this journalist has this, like, blackout theory that maybe.
It's, yeah, not even a theory. I think this is just real.
Oh, it's entirely yeah. possible that this, what happened is that he blacked out. He yeah. drank so much that he blacked out. And he doesn't remember
yeah.
that he did that. And what's so upsetting is that when that part of the testimony was happening, like when Amy Klobuchar was, like, saying, like, yeah. have you ever blacked out? And yeah. he was like, no. I, a grown-ass woman, was like, are you kidding me? I have for sure blacked out. And I'm,
out.
Like, not an alcoholic. Like, yep. I'm fine. But, like, yeah, there's definitely been events and times and nights where the next day I was like, wait, we went to what bar?
Yeah.
Like, ooh, well, how did this get on my pants? Yep. Like, that happens.
Yep, it does happen. I've blacked out once in my life. I don't drink anymore. After that, I've probably only gotten drunk, like, a handful of times.
I know. Did I say and that? Like, it happens them. A lot. It really
no,
does.
No.
It's happened enough.
No, I mean, like, we were all in college. We sure. all went to high school. Where did you grow up?
I'm from Wisconsin.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm from Westchester, New York. And I feel like one of the things that I've been hearing the last couple of days, which has really resonated with me, is, like, in these, like, really, like, rich, white, suburban enclaves where parents sort of, like, have a ton of money and, like, let their kids do whatever, yeah, everyone just drank in basements and did a lot of drugs. And then you kind of knew that, like, your life wasn't going to get messed up because of it. It was just like, this is what you did. And the one time I blacked out was I was in college. I was 19. And I went to a party. I, like, worked as a summer camp counselor. I went to a party with all of my coworkers, my other counselors. And I had been, like, sort of dating, like, one of the counselors. And he was, like, hooking up with me and someone else in the camp. Like, it was just, like, who would do this? But only 19-year-olds. And I heard she was going to come. And I remember – the last thing I remember about that night is that I poured probably – a full solo cup of vodka and drank the whole thing. Oof. Woke up the next morning and was like, what a terrible party. That party sucked. And it turned out I had an amazing night that I was not mentally present for. Apparently, I got on the table and sang happy birthday. It wasn't a birthday party. I danced with the family dog. I went up to the girl who the guy I was hooking up with was hooking up with. And I said, I think you're so mean, but you are very pretty.
Oh, wow.
Like, that was, like, everyone told me that the next day. They were like, you were really nice to her. You told her she was, like, a bitch, but you also said she had very pretty hair. I was like, great.
Honestly, I would have taken that.
And I felt so awful the next day. I mean, like, despite not even just the hangover, just the, like, true discomfort of not being in control was enough to really make me take a step back. But the culture around drinking when you're young and when you're the age that everyone is saying Brett Kavanaugh was when these things happened, is that you don't know how to drink to a comfortable point. You think drinking...
He couldn't even say it at the hearing.
Yeah.
They were like, how many is too many? He's like, whatever the chart says?
Right. Like, you're 50... I felt like I was watching a 17-year-old on trial. Like, a few things at play there. But, like, when you're a teenager, I mean, you're... The whole point of drinking is to drink so much you black out. At least that was what it was when I was...
Drink to get drunk.
Yeah, it's drink yeah. to get drunk. And what is drunk
mean? You're
not,
like,
drunk
savoring
means, like,
the flavor of the Malibu and Tang.
You're not just like, oh, I'm, like, super, like, warm and I feel, like, kind of buzzed. You're like, I want to be vomiting by the end of the night. Like, what a weird, like, but right? Like, that's college. Yeah. Like, it was like, you are, not, like, drunk had a whole different meaning. Drunk was like, I want you puking. Like, I don't want you to remember anything. And what struck me was how defensive he was about doing something that I think a lot of people can look back on their teenage years and say, like, I engaged in that behavior. And I felt that it would have been so much easier for him to show that he changed, that he's a grown man, that he participated in behavior that he regrets, that he obviously, because of his drinking problem, did things when he was blacked out that he has no recollection of, and then totally believes that what he did to Dr. Ford is a thing that he could have done. Because the thing that I keep coming back to is her story is not that remarkable.
No.
It is not like, it's not like I was in the alley and like someone, it's like you were at a party, you were a teenager, two boys were really, really drunk. You kind of didn't really know what to do. And they like, you got taken advantage of. And then you were embarrassed and you didn't know who to tell. That is the story of like millions
of
women.
Lives. Yeah.
And the only remarkable thing about this assault story is that her abuser went on to be nominated for the Supreme Court. And like,
which is why she says she did speak out. So when people say it was politically motivated, I mean, she said herself, like, I'm trying to be a good citizen.
Yeah,
like, this
absolutely.
Is something that I spoke up when I saw that he was on this short list. I, you know, obviously it made me really anxious and think that this is a person that had the temperament, you know, ought to be on it. And
absolutely.
So I spoke up, and even though it was really hard and scary.
Right. And as a survivor of sexual assault myself, I don't have any reason to do anything about my abuser right now. As far as I know, I think he lives in upstate New York and like runs a restaurant. I don't feel the need to bring that to the attention of anybody else because I have like reconciled with it in therapy or like through, but like, if he were up for a
like the Supreme Court
huge
of chefs.
Government, right? If he was up for the Top Chef, but then I think you would think, okay, maybe it's time. This person's going to be in charge of making a lot of decisions that affect a lot of people, and I don't think I'm comfortable with it. I totally get it, but people are always like, "Why didn't you speak up earlier?" It's like, oh, really? Like this is how we treat people who speak up. Why
right.
would she have spoken up earlier? Why would anyone?
And so to say that his reaction was correct, that he was angry, and hers was, I guess, in converse, not correct because she wasn't angry. Like, I think that's another thing that, you know, you hear is, again, he was angry, rightfully so, if he didn't do anything wrong.
Sure.
And we've already said maybe he literally doesn't believe that he did this.
Yeah.
Even if he did, which
right.
is why we should have a full-throated investigation to find out more about it.
Right.
But beyond that, it feels, even in the aftermath, like her voice has really been diminished in this.
Yeah.
And we almost kind of forget to talk about her as we're talking about this.
Yeah.
And I think that's really unfortunate because, to your point, there's so many people out there who haven't made the really hard decision to come forward. And I think I personally have struggled with this, like, hashtag believe women or believe survivors because of knowing in the back of my head that those people are going to pop up and say, but what about the falsely accused?
Right.
And I think that I have to find a way to get over that because, you know, you mentioned earlier she had nothing to gain from this. Well, he had everything to lose
right.
if what he wants is to be on the Supreme Court, right?
Right.
Which would, I could see for him, it maybe it justifies lying or it justifies,
yeah.
Which I'm not saying it
no,
does.
No, I know. I think, but that thought process, yes.
Right. And so how do you reckon with that? Like, how do you, again, not saying that it's due process, not saying that it was a trial, but how do we reckon with the desire as women to want to believe women, to want to believe survivors and want the men in our lives to back us up on that, knowing that maybe there's always going to be some questions or maybe, you know, we're never going to get the full story?
I think it starts with parenting. I think something that concerns me is that so many people are like, I'm worried about my sons. It's like, I'm worried you're not telling your sons not to rape women. So much of the education around rape culture is how to prevent yourself from getting raped and not men, could you please stop raping women?
Or even just the idea of consent. Like
consent
is something
totally.
I didn't even like think of that as a concept when I was in college. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I feel like it's only since I've been an adult have people talked about consent as something that is pivotal to
yeah.
relations in any, you know, regard. And that's something where that precedes the idea of don't rape someone.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally just, hey, just make sure she says yes.
Right.
Make sure she's coherent enough to say yes.
And I know that there's education to be had around making women feel empowered to say no. You know, a lot of time, I mean, I know that I have said yes when I've meant no, and you kind of are just like, I did consent to this. I mean, like, that's a whole other chapter of how like messed up all of this is. But I think, you know, something that I thought about and I talked to a bunch of friends about is if I were Dr. Ford and Brett Kavanaugh was my abuser and I chose to do this and I chose to like literally ruin the rest of my life, because she'll always, like, what do you think of when you think of Anita Hill? Like, Anita Hill was a person, you know, with a full life. And now she is like fully attached to this, this testimony that never, that never helped her. Right. And Dr. Ford also saw that going in. She knew that that was exactly what could happen to her, and she still went. And I think that Brett Kavanaugh had a really wide open opportunity, like I said before, to show growth, to apologize, to address the kind of culture that he found himself in as a teenager and as a college student, to make strides in talking about the ways in which he would educate his own children now that he's a father of two daughters. Stop using the women in your life as pawns for being like woke. It doesn't work.
Because here's the secret. There's women everywhere.
Right. There are women everywhere.
You
women
didn't have to make them.
Yeah. Women
or marry them.
Exactly. You didn't have to make them or marry them or be related to them. And I think that there was a really good opportunity for him to put into place initiatives to have like a national conversation about this, to show up humiliated and humble and apologetic and like sincere. And I bet this would have gone totally different for him. Not that I'm saying like you should have had a better publicist and maybe you'd get this job. And I actually think that the way it went shines a light on the real, real problems we have. But no woman, at least, well, I can speak for myself. I would never be out to ruin someone's life over a past accusation. I assume that, you know, when I was 15, the person who assaulted me, who was 16 at the time, is a different person now that we're in our 30s. I'm assuming, like, he is not a bad person. I am assuming he didn't learn a lot of lessons. I'm assuming he, like, wasn't talked to about, you know, consent or how to treat women or how to drink. And I also believe people can grow. Brett Kavanaugh showed absolutely no shred evolution. Of evolution. And that's what's nerve-wracking. Like, talking about, like I wouldn't have been drinking on the weekdays because I would have been lifting at Tobin. It's like, okay.
The fact that we all know, like, Squee and Tobin is going to be, like, they're going to be haunting my name for the rest of my life.
Everyone's going to go to Halloween as Squee and Tobin this year. You know it's true. My God. I know. We're in for it.
How did that just hit me?
Right. It's going to be like, lifting weights at Tobin. I mean, it's just like, you're 54.
Everybody's going to be the Brett Kavanaugh calendar.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's a really good idea, actually. It's just a joke. I saw every boy I went to high school with in that. I was so sad, like every other woman, very gutted watching Dr. Ford speak. Not triggered, just gutted. Brett Kavanaugh triggered me. I am not a triggered person. I can, like, deal with a lot. It just, like, was too much. Mm-hmm.
In a sliding doors reality, I think what you said is totally possible. Like, yes, I made a shit ton of mistakes. I've learned from them. Me and my wife go to therapy because I'm still dealing with coming from a place of privilege and acknowledging that.
Right.
And, like, blah, 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 blah,
issues
blah.
With alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, like, I do think it's too much to ask from this specific person.
Absolutely.
I think it's possible from other people. And I'm sure there are people who, like, grew up with a silver spoon in their mouth and now are, like, doing what they can to kind of help others up the ladder, right?
Yep.
Or at least being like, I know that I started three rungs above everybody else on this ladder. I agree. And I think that something I've been thinking about a lot, too, and that I've been hearing, again, as an argument that I'd love to, you know, hear what you think about this is – this idea of, we don't think he did it, but if he did, it was a long time ago, and you can't hold a kid responsible for for actions through the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much to unpack there. Mm-hmm. And I guess the first thing that I would just sort of want to get out of the way is, it's really disingenuous to say, I don't think it happened, but if it did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's already starting from a really weird premise.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, that's an argument that we're hearing from a lot of people is, like, if you held me to the things that happened when I was 15. And, like, that's what worries me is, like, they're not just saying, like, Like, they're almost bypassing the, like, I don't think he did it, and jumping right to, it could have happened.
Sure.
And that's because boys do this kind of thing all the time.
Sure. Well, I mean, let's talk about white male privilege, which is a real thing. I think a lot of white men are put on the defensive when it gets brought up. And the way that I explain it, if I'm in the position where I have to explain it, is white male privilege does not mean that you are a privileged person. It doesn't mean that you are rich. It doesn't mean that you didn't have to work hard. It doesn't mean that you don't have student loans or debt or parents that abused you or abandoned you. What it means is that as a white male, you are given more of an opportunity to make mistakes than a person of color. And so if you think about Brett Kavanaugh in the context of Trayvon Martin, in the context of Mike Brown in Ferguson, and you think about the argument that this man, everyone makes mistakes at 17, should this person really have to pay for it for the rest? They were to ruin their lives for this mistake. No white men making this argument for Brett Kavanaugh ever seems to make this argument for incarcerated people of color all over the country. Do I believe that a mistake you make at 17 years old should follow your whole entire life? No, not really. I believe you need to grow from it and apologize if someone's demanding an apology from you. But I also don't believe the people who are all of a sudden coming out of the woodwork feeling very, very certain about this stance and were nowhere to be found you know, during Ferguson.
Right. They weren't marching.
Yeah, they weren't marching. The They're not saying Black Lives Matter. Exactly. And so that's what the white male privilege is like, you know, these people see themselves in Brett Kavanaugh. And so that's scary, you know, to think like, is this one night in high school going to come and ruin my life? And, you know, it might, if you don't act accordingly, or if you did something so grave that you shouldn't be forgiven. But also, we're not saying Brett Kavanaugh is going to go to jail, get on death row, be shot.
No, he'll have to go back to the second highest court in the land to his lifetime appointment.
He's just not going to get this job. And I think that it is a good lesson to teach young boys that the things that you do
have consequences,
and the consequences might not come up for 30 or 40 years. But that's the truth, and that's how life goes. And unfortunately, you know, white men seem to be the last to learn this lesson. I just don't believe the argument.
Yeah, that's totally fair.
How do you feel about it?
It's funny. I'm really glad we're having this conversation on Monday, because if it would have been Thursday or Friday, like, you and I just would both be like screaming into the microphones.
Yes, absolutely.
Because to your point, I also am not someone who like ever used the word triggered before, but now I use it a lot because I feel the same way. And I think where I get into trouble is not recognizing that not all men have the ability to put themselves into our shoes and see how a certain situation might make women feel. And so I think to that degree, there is some education that needs to be done around it. And hopefully it's just comes from conversations like these and listening and really hearing the idea that, yes, for a man, maybe his biggest concern is not getting into Yale, even though your legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And for women, it's like having something really terrible happen as we're walking home from the subway at night.
Yeah.
Or, you know, on a second date.
Yeah, or at home with a boyfriend who drinks too much or a father who drinks too much.
You're right. And I think that's something that should – I guess I also get angry because I feel like that shouldn't be so hard to empathize with. Like, wow, oh, my God, that must be really terrible. How do you go around like that not feeling nervous all the time? But I don't feel like I've heard that much. And I'm not like crossing my arms about it and pouting and say like, how dare you men not get on my side about this? Because I think for so long, men and white men specifically have been like the default. When you think about a person, like if you think about a doctor, like the idea that probably pops into your head is a white guy.
Well, that's what you're taught when you're young too.
Right.
And I mean, that's where it changes, is like, that's what you're taught.
Yes. And so I think when you're accustomed to privilege.
Yes.
Equality feels like oppression.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. And so for men to be like, have their first concern be, like you said, about them, and I'm concerned that I'm going to get falsely accused, to me that feels like the 10th thing on the list to feel concerned about right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, if that. And so I think for me it's more I feel hopeful that we're having these conversations at all. Mm-hmm. I don't think that guys understand how personally women are taking that right now.
Mm-hmm. And look, you are who you are. And so I would say to men, like, it is very natural and human to look at the situation and say, like, okay, well, if I were in the situation, I guess I would be the Brett Kavanaugh. So here's how I feel about that. And I don't want to be wrongly accused. And I don't want anyone to falsely accuse me. Some women do falsely accuse. It's like, okay, relax. It's not about you. But like, if you could just put yourselves in the position of women, and there are women in your life that you know and that you love, and maybe they haven't told you and maybe they have, that are survivors of sexual assault.
Right. The number is between 1 in 3 and 1 in 5.
Right. And the number of men who are survivors of false accusations, it's small. And so don't make it about you. And you could say, well, this isn't about you either because you're not Dr. Ford and this has nothing to do with you. It is. It's about women, for sure, because women are historically not believed. Women are historically made to, you know, the way that Brett Kavanaugh was acting, if a woman acted like that, the adjectives to describe it would not have been the same. And just look at all of those things, like, through the lens of history and through the lens of equality and gender, and understand that you are in a position where even if you have done the horrible thing and you are so guilty, you are so much more likely to get off the hook for it than anyone else who has done the same thing. And that's horrible. And that is a privilege that people really have to understand.
And we talk about the patriarchy on mm-hmm. here a little bit. And I think it's like an abstract term mm-hmm. to men. But like, you're basically describing it right now. Like, they're the recipients of advantages that the rest of us don't get.
There are female doctors. Yes, there are female, like, deans of colleges. Like, there are women. Your boss might be a woman. That's not what we're talking about. It's like, your boss might, like, the gender, like, pay equality is not that, like, your boss makes more money than you and she is a woman. Like, that's, and I think that there's like a deep confusion about that. It's like, that's not true. Like, I make $60,000 a year. My boss, like, she makes 80. So, like, that's bullshit. That's like saying global warming isn't real
because it's cold out.
Because it's cold out. Okay.
Well, that argument's been made on the floor of the Senate.
Yeah. So. I don't know. But also, like, I wonder if this will resonate with your listeners, but I'm also super wary. Like, I hope this does, because I feel like this is actually the bigger problem of, like, the modern man who's not a monster, which I assume most of your listeners are modern,
like,
men who are not
our
monsters.
Reader. Yes.
Is like, is there nothing more kind of squirmy than the guy who's like, I'm a feminist, like, wearing, like, a woman's places in the White House shirt and, like, okay, like, calm down. First of all, anytime I see a dude who's, like, overly performing, like, equal rights, I'm like, you're probably a murderer, or, like, you really just want to have sex. Like, that's all I think about, is like, that it just feels like a line. You know what I mean? Like, I actually pitched this as a story and then I never followed up on it, but I really wanted to do a story about, after the election, all these dudes changing their Tinder profile pictures to, like, resistance type pics, like,
oh wow,
like, with signs and, like, at the march. Like, that's great. I think men should do it. And I actually almost sympathize. We're always telling men, you need to be an ally. You need to stand up for women. And when they do, we're like, oh, it's so embarrassing that you're wearing that, like, feminist t-shirt.
Well, okay. So then, yeah, for our listeners, like, what is your hot tip? Like, what can they do to meet you in the middle somewhere?
I think it's, like, the real basics. I think it's, like, stop talking about feminism in the eyes of you. Like, you, the male feminist, is not that interesting. Like, elevate women when you can. Something that happens all the time in meetings, and women always know that this happens and men never know that this happens, is that women will often say things and then they will be ignored, and then
a man says it louder
and they're like, that is an amazing idea, John is so smart, did everyone hear John's idea? And Facebook actually, women at Facebook started doing this thing, like, 2 years ago, where they they were noticing that this was happening all the time. And so they basically got together and they like formed this sort of system where it's like, okay, like Jane says an idea and then like Sam tries to like basically say the same thing or be like, oh, the worst is when it's like, oh, actually, Jane, I was thinking about that last week myself. I didn't say anything about it, but I actually had that thought 5 days ago. It happens so much. And then other women would be like, I love Jane's idea. Jane's idea, like just continuing to
right,
say.
To connect it to connect Jane. It.
This is Jane's idea. I love that Jane had this idea. Great idea, Jane. And it actually worked.
Yeah, they
and
formed I think an alliance.
That like these small things, like if you are a man wearing like a feminist t-shirt, but you are still talking over women in your meetings, like we see you. Like we see you. And we hear you, which we don't want to do anymore. Yeah, like elevate women when you can. Give women credit when credit is due. Hire women of color for panels and at your jobs, not because you're trying to fill a quota, but because there are brilliant, hardworking people and they don't just look like you.
And having diverse voices in the room makes everyone's
makes work better.
Yeah, jobs yeah. better and the output better.
Absolutely.
It's how we don't get more Kendall Jenner Pepsi ads.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, that was horrifying. It's how we don't get like I feel like every 6 months Target or H&M is putting out a shirt that's like I'm a girl so like I hate math and it's like what were there any women like present in this design room? I mean, it's simple stuff like that. Are you going to get a gold star after you do it? No. Are you going to get a cookie after you do it? No. Are all the women going to come up to you after the meeting and be like, oh my God, it's so amazing when you didn't
John,
talk
thank
over
you
me?
So much.
No, you're not going to get attention for it.
Right. Because women do the right thing all the time.
Right.
And we don't expect
yeah,
the cookies anymore.
And similarly, when you were talking about that you sent out your newsletter and you didn't wake up to sort of curb yourself. Like, we had a work party on Friday and, you know, all the men that I work with on my team are, like, amazing. They're great and they're wonderful. And that you can be a wonderful man and still sometimes do these things without thinking.
Yeah, that are problematic.
And so women have to feel comfortable calling them out. And so Friday we had this work party and, like, right before one of my female colleagues who was like in charge of, you know, getting the food and getting everything like set up sort of made a call out to the room and was like, hey guys, like I'm going to need help cleaning up after the party. Can anyone like stick around and help me? And of course, who said, no problem, I'll help. It was all the women
yeah.
immediately. Every woman was like, and that's a thing that we're all used to doing. It's like, got to be helpful, got to be like a team player. And none of the men really said anything. And so I was in a mood. I was like feeling ragey. And so I went into the work Slack like an hour later and I was like, hey guys, I have a small suggestion. And it was totally polite. I was like,
yeah,
not
I was
trying
say, this
to be
doesn't
mean.
Sound ragey
no,
at
I was,
all.
I was just like, a small this suggestion in light of the emotional week all of us had this week. I think it would be amazing if all of the men could step up and take over the cleaning up after the party. And it's like, I said it to a Slack room of like 45 people. Almost all of the men were like, okay, no problem. I'll do it. It's like public
shaming
works.
Right, because nobody's
going
to be the a-hole that's like, yeah. No, I didn't rape anybody, so I'm not
but
helping
also,
clean up.
I think, right, exactly. Yeah, they're like, if I don't know if you know this, but I'm not Brett Kavanaugh, so like, I'm not going to clean up the sandwiches. But I also believed that it was like, that all of these men, their reaction was not like, oh my God, I hope I wanted to say yes because I don't want them to think I'm an asshole. I think they were really like, oh, duh.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we want to support you. We know that, like, you know, we work in news. They watch. I mean, we have to. It's too much. And all of the men on our team, and some of them were affected by it as well, but like watched all of the women be like drained. And I think when I said that, it almost it didn't even occur to them.
Yeah.
And these are all the same men. And I'm sure everyone out there has men or are men like this, where it's like, let me know if I can do anything. Like, let me know how I can help.
And they mean it.
And they totally mean it. But sometimes it's just like, why don't you offer to do something and don't wait for us to do the labor of, like, asking you to do it.
Yeah. Emotional labor is the big one.
Emotional
and I think
labor.
That we're finally kind of becoming aware of that.
Yeah.
And you see it more in, like, one-on-one relationships, but it's interesting that it's sort of expanding to the workforce.
Totally.
And the workplace where men are being made aware that, yeah, it shouldn't take them asking. It should...
Yeah.
It should be them offering.
But men, that's the kind of thing. If you see that kind of thing, that's how you become a good ally. That's how you become an actual, like, someone who's actually tuning into the culture. It's not like, yes, please don't rape anybody. That feels like a given.
Right.
And just because you have not raped anybody does not mean you are getting a celebration. Like, that is baseline human decency. There are a lot of not good allies out there, I think, who feel that because they have not committed the gravest sin that they are somehow good. And I think that there is a spectrum, and I think that men could work a lot harder, and I think that there are a lot of easy ways to do it. And women notice.
Yeah.
And they appreciate. And guess what? Women notice more when you don't do it. So.
And, you know, I'm not saying we don't appreciate the non-raping. I want to say thank you right now to every guy who has not raped either of us.
Yeah, either of us or anyone any other anywhere. Woman.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, if that's
amazing
what you needed.
Amazing job. You're doing amazing, sweetie.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You're the – seriously, thank you. So there's your cookie.
Right. There it is.
But, yeah, now start hyping other women at work.
Yeah.
Start, like, doing more housework at home, like, all of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do more cleaning.
Yeah. Like, this Thanksgiving, I want, like, no woman to wash the dishes.
Or cook.
Or, sure.
No. You know, there's, like, I don't know how it is in your family, and this isn't the way it is in my family because we have a big Thanksgiving, but I would say there's, like, some weird culture around, like, men sitting on the couch and the women are, like, cooking, and, like, maybe the women do want to cook, or maybe the men do want to cook. I don't know. But just do all the work. Men can do all the work this Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what we're going to do.
We've decreed. And so it shall be.
And so, that's it.
All right.
Constitution now.
Thank you guys so much. Oh, just a quick hot take. Kanye West is trash. He's bad for the culture.
Enough.
I don't want to talk about him anymore. I'm going to mute him on Twitter. I'm done.
So I blocked him a long time ago. And so when I see other people retweeting and it's like, this tweet is not available, that's when I know Kanye West is doing something.
Yes.
I cannot. And I also think we have to cancel Kim as well.
Ooh. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, we'll tackle that next week. So if you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and review Undressed on Apple Podcasts and subscribe wherever it is you may listen. And if you really, really enjoyed this podcast, please support the show to help us keep it ad-free. Just head to anchor.fm/stylegirlfriend and click on the purple support this podcast button. Caroline, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter. It's So Caroline Says. And you can buy Hey Ladies on Amazon or wherever books are sold.
Oh, my God. That's such a good plug. All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.